Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A loving welcome to those who are here in the church auditorium, and to those who've dialed in on the listen line, and to those who've connected via Zoom. And we'll begin with singing hymn number 139. I walk with love along the way, and oh, it is a holy day. No more I suffer cruel fear. I feel God's presence with me here. The joy that none can take away is mine. I walk with love today. Hymn number 139. I shall read from the Bible, Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Proverbs, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Isaiah, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. John. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Matthew. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. John. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Galatians. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 3 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Deuteronomy. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And I shall read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Prayer means that we desire to walk and will walk in the light so far as we receive it, even though with bleeding footsteps, and that waiting patiently on the Lord, we will leave our real desires to be rewarded by him. If truth is overcoming error in your daily walk and conversation, you can finally say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith because you are a better man. Jesus sent a message to John the Baptist, which was intended to prove beyond a question that the Christ had come. Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. In other words, tell John what the demonstration of divine power is, and he will at once perceive that God is the power in the messianic work. The God-inspired walk, calmly on through, though it be with bleeding footsteps. I'll start that again. The God-inspired walk calmly on, though it be with bleeding footprints, and in the hereafter they will reap what they now sow. In the walk to Emmaus, Jesus was known to his friends by the words which made their hearts burn within them, and by the breaking of bread. The divine spirit which identified Jesus thus centuries ago has spoken through the inspired word and will speak through it in every age and clime. It is revealed to the receptive heart and is again seen casting out evil and healing the sick. The mission of Jesus confirmed prophecy and explained the so-called miracles of olden time as natural demonstrations of the divine power, demonstrations which were not understood. Jesus' works established his claim to the Messiahship. In reply to John's inquiry, "Art thou he that should come?" Jesus returned an affirmative reply, recounting his works instead of referring to his doctrine, confident that this exhibition of the divine power to heal would fully answer the question. Hence his reply, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." In other words, he gave his benediction to anyone who should not deny that such effects coming from divine mind prove the unity of God, the divine principle which brings out all harmony. Infidelity to the marriage covenant is the social scourge of all races, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, the destruction that wasteth at noonday. We walk in the footsteps of truth and love by following the example of our dear Master in the understanding of divine metaphysics. Christianity is the basis of true healing. Whatever holds human thought in line with unselfed love receives directly the divine power. Had Blondin believed it impossible to walk the rope over Niagara's abyss of waters, he could never have done it. His belief that he could do it gave his thought forces, called muscles, their flexibility and power, which the unscientific might attribute to a lubricating oil. His fear must have disappeared before his power of putting resolve into action could appear. Enoch's perception had been confined to the evidence before the material senses. He could never have walked with God, nor been guided into the demonstration of life eternal. The scriptures say, "They that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Paul said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his conception. We are all sculptors, working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. What is the model before mortal mind? Is it imperfection, joy, sorrow, sin, suffering? Have you accepted the mortal model? Are you reproducing it? Then you are haunted in your work by vicious sculptors and hideous forms. Do you not hear from all mankind of the imperfect model? The world is holding it before your gaze continually. The result is that you are liable to follow those lower patterns, limit your life work, and adopt into your experience the angular outline and deformity of matter models. To remedy this, we must first turn our gaze in the right direction and then walk that way. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. The divine demand, be ye therefore perfect, is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. The effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. If one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. Under the strong impulse of a desire to perform his part, a noted actor was accustomed night after night to go upon the stage and sustain his appointed task, walking about as actively as the youngest member of the company. This old man was so lame that he hobbled every day to the theater and sat aching in his chair till his cue was spoken, a signal which made him as oblivious of physical infirmity as if he had inhaled chloroform, though he was in the full possession of his so-called senses. Detach sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good and the nature of the immutable and immortal. Breaking away from the mutations of time and sense, you will neither lose the solid objects and ends of life, nor your own identity. Fixing your gaze on the reality supernal, you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as the bird which has burst from the egg and preens its wings for a skyward flight. We must look where we would walk, and we must act as possessing all power from Him in whom we have our being. Jesus walked on the waves, fed the multitude, healed the sick, and raised the dead in direct opposition to material laws. His acts were the demonstration of science overcoming the false claims of material sense or law. Students of Christian Science who start with its letter and think to succeed without the spirit will either make shipwreck of their faith or be turned sadly awry. They must not only seek but strive to enter the narrow path of life. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Man walks in the direction towards which he looks, and where his treasure is, there will his heart be also. If our hopes and affections are spiritual, they come from above, not from beneath, and they bear as of old the fruits of the Spirit. You must utilize the moral might of mind in order to walk over the waves of error and support your claims by demonstration. Truth and love enlighten the understanding. In whose light shall we see light? And this illumination is reflected spiritually by all who walk in the light and turn away from a false material sense. Let us join together for a few moments of silent prayer to be followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. And then let's turn to hymn number 457. Not in the storm, nor the earthquake, nor the wave. You're not in the wind, nor the flame. In the still of the evening, in the hush of the morning, call my name. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Teach me to do your will, O God. Cause me to know the way where I should place my feet, to walk in the pathway of your love. Hymn number 457.
Thank you. prepares my feet to walk in the pathway of your love. Teach me to fear the will of God. Cause me to know where I should place my feet to walk in the pathway of your love.
First Church of Christ Scientists, Carmel, Indiana, is a branch of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts, which is the worldwide headquarters for the Christian Science Movement. Our Sunday service is at 10:30 Sunday mornings, and at that same hour, Sunday school is available for young people up to the age of 20. And for those too young to attend Sunday school, we have a children's room where little ones will be lovingly cared for. Our Christian Science Reading Room is located at 21 West Main Street in the Arts and Design District of the City of Carmel. It's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 4, where you will find 3 computers where you can research citations from the Bible, the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, listen to a Christian Science lecture, explore healings that have occurred over the years, and or just have a few moments to be still and listen for how much God loves you. Now, one other announcement. Christian Science Media Committee is grateful for all the past contributions made. The Media Committee, again, is asking for annual pledges from churches, societies, and individuals to help continue our community outreach through our 24/7 Indiana Inspiration phone line, which is area code 317-854-8484, and also the csindiana.org website. Pledges can be emailed to vicky@trainerassociates.com, and contributions may be made via Givelify under the contribute tab on the csindiana.org website. Please send any pledges by January 31st, 2023. And now is time for those who wish to share how Christian Science has blessed their experience and testimonies and healings in their experience. There's a microphone available.
Thank you for your powerful readings tonight. They were a treatment, all sorts of treatments on walking with God and truth and love. And we're all striving to do that. I've had an opportunity to read. This is my second biography on Mrs. Eddy, where you can see her walking with truth and love all the time. And it's just, I'm so grateful that people have taken the time document all those things and to go out and do the research to write them. They're both the two that I read plus introspection and retrospect. They're all written from a different point of view, and they all give you a little bit more information. This last one that I'm reading right now is called The World More Bright, and it does a really nice job of showing you some, like, the tenets, what the tenets look like at a particular year and how they look now. And it's very interesting to see how Mrs. Eddy's inspiration had changed over the years and changed what she wanted to do. And just all the different things that went on in her life, all the trials and tribulations. And she always stood on that rock, which is God, and made her life better. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Thank you. While you're pondering what you would like to share, I have a testimony to read from the January Christian Science Journal. And it was originally published in Spanish, and it was submitted from Claudia Honorato from Santiago, Chile. And it's titled, Protected from Ill Effects After Chemical Exposure. I would like to share an experience I had a few years ago when I was making arrangements to visit my father-in-law in another city with my husband and children. Taking advantage of the fact that we would be away from home for a few days, my husband and I decided to fumigate outside around the perimeter of our house, a task I had performed before on several occasions. The car was packed and everyone was ready to leave, so I had to fumigate quickly and get in the car. However, things did not go as planned. I went into our utility room to pour the chemical solution into our tank sprayer, and since I had little time, I added only half the required amount of water, which resulted in a more concentrated chemical solution than normal. Also, I didn't put on protective gloves because I had run out of them. Then I pumped air into the tank several times to pressurize it for spraying and press the trigger to test the spray. But the minute I pressed the trigger, the hose came loose from the tank and the chemical solution splashed onto my face, hands, and body, and also onto the utility room floor. The instructions for using the product said that if the poison came into contact with your eyes, you should go to a hospital immediately. I was overwhelmed with fear, and I thought, we cannot go on our trip. However, at this critical moment, I heard the quieting and comforting words, "Fear not, touch my heart," and I felt divine love, God's sheltering presence with me there. I immediately washed my hands and face while thinking about the words of our Master, Christ Jesus, who said of his followers, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And that quote is from Mark chapter 16, verse 18. This calmed my thoughts and made me conscious of being totally spiritual and therefore safe from harm. Mary Baker Eddy writes in the Christian Science textbook, quote, "All things are created spiritually," end quote, and that's from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 256. God is spirit, the creator of man and the universe. Furthermore, we are told in the first chapter of the Bible, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And that's from Genesis, first chapter, verse 31. Since God made me and every one of his creations in his likeness, meaning spiritual, I could not experience a reaction from matter or any material condition. Another thought I had was that going to visit my father-in-law was going to be a blessing for him, for my children, and for everyone. We hadn't seen him for a long time, and it was going to be a joy for all of us to spend a weekend together. I knew that canceling the trip was not the solution, because I would be giving in to the false belief that God's children can be the victims of chance or accidents. Accidents do not come from God, because he is omnipresent love, and everything is his good and perfect manifestation. I saw the situation I was experiencing as an unreality that could not influence or harm me. I realized that held in the arms of love, one can overcome the belief in a power opposed to God. I finished cleaning up, and when I got in the car, I had the precious opportunity to share this instance of protection with my children and husband, showing them that nothing had happened to my eyes and the rest of my body, and to reflect on the tender care and protection God gives us. I had no difficulty that weekend or at any point after this experience. I am certain that relying on God is the safest and perfect choice in any situation, as it frees us from the limiting thoughts that cause fear and opens the door of consciousness to spiritual reality and to the light of divine love, which heals and blesses God's beloved children. Each one of us is the child of God, as we are told in the first epistle of John in the Bible, quote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And that's chapter 3, verse 1. And it was submitted by Claudia Honorato from Santiago, Chile.
Thank you, Virginia, for your readings. If I perceive the theme correctly, which a previous testifier alluded to, it was about, or is about, walking in the footsteps of truth, walking in the ways of love, etc.
You got it right.
I paid attention. I was listening, as you can see. I believe there's a quote in the Bible, and somebody correct me on this, which says, "Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you." I believe that's from the Bible.
Correct.
Is it? No.
Yes.
Okay. In any event, I've been thinking about that in recent times and been trying to draw nigh to God, if you will, by the way I conduct my life, more patience, more understanding, more love, I guess, whatever. And I have noticed a noticeable change in the outcome of things that I have been concerned about, problems, worries that I had, things that heretofore I worried about, now seem to be resolved in a way that was very harmonious. This had not been the case previously. It's been a perceptible change in the outcome of problems and issues that I am facing. So I like that idea about drawing nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And it seems to me a correct statement. And if you do that, you will find the impact on your life positive and helpful. So thank you again for your readings.
Thank you for your testimony. I'll read one other testimony from the journal. Time, it's titled "No Obstacle to Healing," and it's submitted by Marina Schellenberg from Maryland Heights, Missouri. Growing up in Christian Science has allowed me to witness and demonstrate wonderful healings. Relying on God for answers has always been the center of my life, and I am grateful to have seen his work in action. The discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, writes in Miscellaneous Writings, 1883 to 1896, "No evidence before the material senses can close my eyes to the scientific proof that God, good, is supreme." And that's from page 277. It is with this truth in thought and much gratitude that I share the following testimony. A few summers ago, I found myself struggling with a stomach and bowel dysfunction. At first, I assumed I would get better soon and took a few days to rest and pray. However, about 2 weeks went by where I was mostly unwell, but still able to carry out needed activities. Although I was praying to ease the discomfort, I realize now it was a half-hearted effort. Then the condition worsened, and I found myself unable to perform even basic activities. The pain and eventual weight loss left me bedridden and without a moment of comfort, day or night. By all outward appearances, immediate action was needed. There was no doubt in my mind that Christian Science held the answer and was the only way to true healing. So when presented with the options of medical or Christian Science care, the choice was clear. I took a firm and radical stand for truth and chose Christian Science treatment. This unwavering reliance on God kept me progressing. My loving and supportive parents cared for me, and I worked with a Christian Science practitioner. I cannot express enough gratitude to my family and the practitioner for their unwavering support. There were times when I felt it was their prayers that got me through particularly difficult days. I also found relief in the statement from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy from page 380, quote, "Truth is always the victor." It reminded me of what Christ Jesus said and what his healing work demonstrated, that with God, all things are possible. That's from Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Armed with this conviction, I knew that healing would come. This confidence kept me moving forward and impelled me to study for a deeper understanding of my perfection as God's child. I awoke every day to declare that time is measured by the good that unfolds and by nothing else. And that's from Science and Health, page 584. With the limitation of time behind me, I worked diligently to see my completeness as God's child, affirming the truth about who I am and knowing that, quote, "the true consciousness is the true health." That's from Miscellaneous Writings, page 298. I dove deep into what it means to be the image and likeness of God, the reflection of life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, and principle. I studied these seven synonyms for God mentioned in Mrs. Eddy's writings to discover what they meant for me as the daughter of God. Each day, the practitioner reminded me that I could not be mesmerized to feel, fear, see, or believe anything that was unlike God. Acknowledging God's omnipotence and omnipresence gave me a strong sense of comfort, assuring me that I dwelled in the secret place of the Most High, and that's from Psalms 91, verse 1. A legend talks about a river freezing over in the winter and thinking that it will never be able to flow again. Every day the sun shines, but the ice doesn't melt. Days, weeks, and months go by until one day the ice breaks up and the river flows freely once again. The story shows that the sun's warmth on the first day, last day, and every day in between are needed to melt the ice. Similarly, despite outward appearances, I knew the inspiration I was gaining moment by moment through consistent daily study and prayer was having an effect. We read in Science and Health, quote, "Every day makes its demands upon us, for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. These proofs consist solely in the destruction of sin, sickness, and death by the power of spirit as Jesus destroyed them. This is an element of progress, and progress is the law of God, whose law demands of us only what we can certainly fulfill. And that's from page 233. I bore witness to this spiritual truth as I faithfully worked toward a complete healing. Each day, it became much clearer to me that I was not material but spiritual, the very image of love. As an idea of God, I was pure and perfect, reflecting and possessing only that which is given to me by my Maker. With this greater understanding of God as my Father, Mother, and a more spiritual sense of self, my progress was manifested physically. The functions of my stomach and bowels returned to normal. I was able to eat properly, sleep through the night, and with around the house and walk around the house freely. While these activities may seem trivial, for me, they were truly expressions of God's law of progress. Unceasing prayer and a complete reliance on God restored me to full health. Following this joyous healing in Christian Science, I moved to a new city, started working again, taught in a Christian Science Sunday school, and became active once again in my free time. I look back on this experience with a deep appreciation of and love for God. Most of all, I'm grateful that I am able to share the healing effect and efficacy of Christian Science with others. The growth I gained through a better understanding of God and all the spiritual lessons I learned along the way have helped me become a more effective healer in the years since. Gratitude abounds, and I truly feel that my cup runneth over. And that's a quote from Psalms 23, verse 5. And that was submitted by Matrina Sherry, I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name, Schoenberg, from Maryland Heights, Missouri. There's time if anyone else would like to share grateful thoughts.
I'm so grateful for the readings tonight and also for the testimonies that we've had and the hymns. As I'm sitting here, I was just remembering a most remarkable call I had, oh, probably a couple of years ago now, but it was the hymn caused me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, just that expectancy that we could hear, and we could hear it right now. This week's lesson has that beautiful line, this is life eternal, is not shall be, just the present reality. At any rate, so I had a call, and the caller said that she had just heard a testimony that was an instantaneous healing. She said, oh, she said, I know that can happen. She said, I just love hearing that instantaneous healing. And she was so enthusiastic about it. And then she went ahead and explained why she had called. And we were just, you know, talking about what was true and what was real. As we talked, I could just feel her listening, which is what that hymn and this lesson is certainly inviting. It's just that listening to hear from God, the assurance that God is God, God is here, and God is all, and that is that. At any rate, so we hung up, and I started to stack my books, and before I was even able to do it, the phone rang again, and it was this young woman, and she said, I'm healed. I'm totally, wholly, completely healed, and we just rejoiced in just the instantaneousness of it, and her sweet expectancy of fact that God is God and God is all, and she could know it, and she did know it. And it was just such a happy moment. I love thinking back about that call, and this evening reminded me of it.
Thank you so much. Let us turn to hymn number 500. I awake each morn to a brand new day, singing hallelujah as I go on my way. For my heart is fixed on this one guarantee, that love that is all holds me tenderly. Tender mercies, oh, tender mercies are holding me. Tender mercies, oh, tender mercies are holding me. And the next verse actually ties in with the readings. I can walk with love through the valley of fear, singing hallelujah. Oh, my Savior is here. For my empty longing, no hope can fulfill. But love meets all need and bids one be still. Hymn number 500.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.